T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
He's hilarious. Our new senior sports correspondent flew aboard.
I wish he was there during my Tinder date, because this is not the feedback I'm receiving.
Does the Third Reich come up at all at those moments when Tinder is an issue for you?
Every German history thing, of course, it's number one. They're like, were you a member of the Third Reich? And I said, listen, look at me. Yes, my skin is good. I have exfoliated. But look, I'm not 92. What's going on, people? Please. Wikipedia, guys.
It's fair.
That's what you asked, Speaks? Yeah. You went the direct.
I'm uncomfortable. You know, my Jewish ancestors, and it's not Flula's fault.
Listen, I get it.
Flula, our audience loves you.
Thank you very much, guys. Go Bulls, go Bears, go Socky Dockies, and Black Hawks, everyone.
I'm sorry I asked him about the Holocaust.
If I have hurt anyone out there, I can't tell you how much I say from the bottom of my heart, I'm so very, very sorry. As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run. I don't know if I'm going to be putting on this headset again.
I agree. That was
the hell was a bad.
I couldn't get it out of my head, Danny.
And this really struck me, and probably the Jews, too, that it happened to, because
I just couldn't. We had that conversation the other day about having no artifice between yourself and the microphone. I'm just sitting here thinking, what were the ancestors doing?
I'll tell you, that's a very interesting story. Let me tell you, I was in a concentration camp. You never even suffered 1 minute in your life compared to what I went through.
Look, I'm saying we spent 42 days trying to survive. We had very little rations, no snacks.
Snacks.
One, two, three.
Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show, afternoons 2 to 6 on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
It was a first on the 10th ever edition of the Parkins and Spiegel Show. Tanny has never done a Holocaust-themed open or used the music from Schindler's List, so I'm happy that I was able to sharing this monumental occasion with you on a Venezuelan Food Friday.
You're welcome. You're welcome is all I'm saying. If I don't reference that, we never get the Schindler's List music. We never have quite as memorable a segment with Flula Borg. Although he was awesome on his own without us. Did you see that somebody on Twitter said that he is a master at Ja und. Ja und. Instead of yes and. It's Ja und in German.
Yeah, get it. It's funny. Thanks. I did not see that tweet came in. I just appreciated that Flula seemed to appreciate it. He was interacting a lot on social media with our listeners and retweeting the links and all of that. And you know me, man. I respect the prep. He prepped Chicago-style bits for a radio interview on a Thursday at 3 o'clock. He did not need to do that. That guy's worked for Conan O'Brien and in many major motion pictures and is an accomplished, rich comedian. Like he had Chicago takes, so I was very impressed, and we are scheduled to have Flula Borg on opening day back on the show.
He's clearly a big sports fan though too, and an athlete at least as a kid. He said he played some of the Hoopy Swishy, was of course the Hoopy Swishy, and some of the other games as well.
I'm so disappointed he didn't call it Hoop Nasty Dunk Dunk like he does on Conan.
Can't be repeating all the material, but yeah, Hoop Nasty Dunk Dunk would have been good. He had the same Dirk Nowitzki material though, so I was just, I don't know, man. I was glowing after that segment. I was so happy with it. I was just like,
he said what, Michael Jordan was the Dirk Nowitzki of basketball.
Yeah, so good. So good. Said there was Dirk and then there were 9 blank spaces, and then there was Michael Jordan. I was like, okay. I respect that, man. I respect the pride. I just want to do this for 1 minute, and then we can get back to some Friday fun and nonsense. And actually, the Bulls have an interesting game tonight that we'll get into. The only local broadcast of Bulls basketball is right here on The Score, because the Bulls' only national TV broadcast is Bulls and Sixers tonight. So we'll get to that in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Darnold will be the ultimate, okay. Like, how Shane makes fun of me when I'm being dismissive of a point, I say, okay. That will be the collective response. You will just be able to feel the light breeze from all of Chicago doing a shrug.
I prefer
Bears
trade for Sam Darnold.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever sound that I make when I'm kind of paying attention but not really interested in the point that's being made, that is the sound that all of Chicago will make if the Bears acquire Sam Darnold. I do.
He's more of an open question than Carson Wentz. I mean, for me, and I suspect others, like, I've decided I don't want anything to do with Carson Wentz. With Sam Darnold, doesn't excite me, but I could probably talk myself into some optimism, like, maybe there's something here, let's find out in that
but
kind
why?
Of way.
If you but that so here we go. What rational thought provider coming at you. You didn't have any faith that Matt Nagy and John DeFilippo could get the most out of Carson Wentz, who is a project who has shown a high ceiling in the NFL. Why would you think that Matt Nagy and John DeFilippo could get a high ceiling out of Sam Darnold, who has not shown a high ceiling in the NFL?
Because of fit, because of schematic fit. Like, because we don't know. Like, I've seen Carson Wentz in this offense. I've seen him in this offense.
Yeah, he almost
very, very
won
good.
The MVP.
Yeah, and then very, very, very bad as well in this offense. So I don't think enough would be changing for Carson Wentz. And I said this when we were talking about it. I don't think enough would be changing for Carson Wentz for me to believe that anything would change. With Darnold, he's been in Adam Gase's bizarro world, and then whoever Todd Bowles had as his OC. And I don't even remember right now in year one. I know it was a West Coast offense. That's what Moose from the Fan
was
told
us. Was it Schottenheimer?
Could be Brian Schottenheimer. It's a good guess. It's a good guess. It's possible. But he could come here and see this stuff and feel super comfortable and love it and thrive. Like, I hold out that possibility where I don't hold that out for Carson Wentz.
Jeremy Bates.
Oh.
Jeremy Bates.
I know that name from Cutler years. He was a Cutler buddy. He was a Cutler buddy from Denver. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Maybe there will be – listen. He certainly has upside. I was a big believer in Sam Darnold. I thought he showed a lot of poise in a terrible situation with the Jets. So to me, it's not that there is nothing to be excited about. It's just that there is not going to be – there will be a lot of people – I disagree with it, but there will be a lot of people who will say Mitch Trubisky is better than Sam Darnold. And there is at least some quantitative evidence, as in Sam Darnold's never had a 20-touchdown season – Mitch has a 24-touchdown season. Sam Darnold's never played in 16 games.
Right.
Right. He's peaked at 13 games in a season. So there are some actual, like, Mitch was the second pick in 2017. He has a 24-12 season. Sam Darnold was the third pick in 2018. He has his peak for interceptions is 15. His peak for touchdowns is 19. So there will at least be some credence to that, whereas if you got Carson Wentz, I don't think there's much credence to the Mitch is better than Carson Wentz conversation, personally.
I understand. Well, it's interesting. I don't think there's credence to that either. So Jeremy Bates was a Mike Shanahan, Rick Dennison, that guy, Gary Kubiak, that kind of offensive guy in Denver. And so that's who Darnold has had, that plus Adam Gase. So schematically, I think it could be different. But it's certainly not very exciting. You know, like, if especially if we're thinking about immediately hit the ground running, take this roster, which is a quarterback away, as they're thinking about it, if we believe that at all.
Which we don't.
Yeah.
Well, so. I was on with my buddy Mike Meltzer on Mad Dog Radio the other night, and he asked, he was like, do you think the Bears are a quarterback away? And I said, no, unless it's Deshaun Watson. Like, if the Bears got a great quarterback, of course they're a Super Bowl contender, right? Of course. Because the Bears do have a fine roster. They don't have a bottom 10 roster in the NFL. Their roster is fine. They've got an average NFL roster at this point with a lot of talent that if they stay healthy and people have a good year at the same time, you can win 10 games with this roster. But if you add a great quarterback into it, of course they're a Super Bowl contender. But with a
don't really think that Deshaun Watson is that much of an upgrade, if any, over Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, terrible thought. The thing with Darnold, again, yes, he's young. Yes, you're getting him on the rookie deal. But 1 year, you got to make the fifth-year option decision. He's right 3 years into his NFL career. Rookie contracts are 5 years. So you don't have Sam Darnold cheap for very long. If you get Sam Darnold, it's a perk for this year that he's cheap. Don't get me wrong. He didn't cost you much this year, but I don't think that there's much of a year one ceiling for Sam Darnold, but we'll see if they end up getting him. Mm. But all right, to the Bulls, man, we haven't talked any Bulls today. I am excited. This is the first time today, honestly, that I have actually felt like Zach LaVine was going to make the All-Star team. Because I don't know if you saw when the starters were announced, it revealed where people came in on the fan vote and the player vote.
Yeah, because he finished fourth overall among guards in the East, right? But you have the breakdown. You have the breakdown.
Yeah, when you broke it up into the various things. But the players had him third.
Huh.
And I think the coaches, are going to value the coach. So the coaches pick the reserves. And I don't want to pretend like a bunch of people. The Bulls have been campaigning hard for Zach LaVine. But if he doesn't make it, it is not some sort of like intergalactic disrespect and snub. He's not a two-way player and the Bulls are awful. And oftentimes the players that make the All-Star team have the pedigree of being previous All-Stars or by being breakout players on good teams, right? So if Sabonis, who we were talking about the other day on the Pacers, if he makes it over Zach when he's averaging like 22 points a game, but the Pacers are a much better team and they've traded Oladipo and he's stepped up and he's kept them as a top half team in the East, Fred VanVleet would be another example of a guy. His pure counting stats are not as good as Zach LaVine,
mm-hmm.
but he's doing it on a winning team. He's contributing to wins, and that's oftentimes how this thing goes out. So I will not be ranting and raving on Zach LaVine's behalf if he doesn't make the All-Star team. I know he cares about it a lot, and he's been great, and by the numbers, he is absolutely deserving of it. This is the first time I've thought he's going to make it because of just how much his peers validated him in that vote. And so I think the coaches will defer to the players on that one.
I bet they will, too. I think he's going to make it, and I think he absolutely deserves it. And as we talk about balancing our Bulls viewing and analysis with the big picture and the small picture, this is a great crystalline moment, I think, over this next like week and a half or whatever it is, to separate the big picture from this moment. Because dude is a stud of an offensive player. I mean,
yes.
What he's doing, and there's different ways to measure that. Let me give you two. One is watching a specific game, like that Detroit game Wednesday night, he flat out took it over at two different points. Third quarter when he puts up 15 in the third, and it was an interesting game on a few different fronts because Donovan benched a few guys to start the second half and all that. But Zach just came out. He absolutely took over with 15 in the third. And then in the final few minutes, going back and forth with Jeremy Grant and just the way that he took over then, too. You know, so there's that kind of thing. You see a guy who knows it, and he had, what, 37, 5, and 5 that night with three steals, just completely taken over and willing the team to a win. But also this, I saw these numbers, man. He's averaging 28.5 points, 5.5 rebounds, 5.2 assists, okay? So yep. Averaging 28, 5, and 5. He's shooting 52% field goal range, 43% from three, which is really good, and almost 85% as a free throw shooter. So he's not quite a 50, 40, 90 guy, But the only thing that's keeping him away from that is the free throws. And that's like super, that's crazy rare company there to be 50, 40, 90. But how about this? Only two players in NBA history have had a season like this where they went 28, 5, and 5 and then 50, 40, 80 for the shooting percentage. And those two players are Steph Curry and Larry Bird, who did it three times.
Yep.
So it's like the percentage with which he's shooting and the volume with which he's scoring, and there's more playmaking than there ever has been in his game. He's working on it. It's not all there, but five assists, five rebounds, nothing to sneeze at, and nobody's ever done this except Steph Curry and Larry Bird over a full year.
Listen, I've seen that stat going around. It's great. I hope he makes it, and I'm saying he deserves to make it, and I think he will make it. It's just historically, for guard is a deep position, and oftentimes you need to win a bit more. So the Bulls are on a two-game winning streak. That's helping them because literally, 5 days ago, there were only four teams in the league who had fewer wins than the Bulls. Now it's very jumbled, right? They've got 12 wins. Two other teams in the East have 12 wins. Two teams in the West have 12 wins. So it's just a very mediocre league right now, frankly.
For sure.
There's not a lot of emphasis being put on the regular season, the pandemic circumstances, load management. It's been a very weird regular season outside of LeBron is dominating and playing in every game and having his best three-point season ever at the age of 35 and just reinventing the world. Utah is bringing it every night on both ends, probably the best two-way team in the sport.
It's crazy.
And Joel Embiid is turning in an MVP caliber season, leading Philly to a one seed, overpassing, you know, Brooklyn and Milwaukee and that. But outside of a few teams at the top, there's just been a lot of coasting and mediocrity, and it hasn't been the best start as far what I've seen to the year. But Zach is different, man. Zach is he's got the fourth most 30-point games in the NBA. He's a crazy efficient scorer. He's a dominant offensive player, and I think again the best thing that he'll have going for him, just based on how the system works, coaches pick the reserves, but players and fans get the votes for the starters. The fact that he was third among guards from his peers, I think that's going to actually get him in, even though the Bulls right now are not a top eight team in the Eastern Conference, and there are guys who have good numbers, if not similar to better than his, that are on teams that have more wins than him. So I do think he'll get in as a reserve.
It's going to be a pretty amazing year-to-year narrative to look at, because last year at the All-Star break, the game is here, and nobody from Chicago is represented except, of course, the entire city and the basketball history and everything like that.
Yeah.
And Zach is on the set of ESPN over at Navy Pier, and people are booing and saying, fire Garpax.
I got to put the team first. But, you know, it's just the situation we're in right now.
Stop.
Unbelievable. So that's fire Garpax. And I know you know how I feel, man. I think that was a big part of eventually pushing the ball over the line to get it done, to get Garpax gone and bring Karnišević. And here we are a year later, and Zach, I think, is going to be on that team. Zach's going to be on the All-Star team instead of just commenting as the local guy, as the best player on a crap-ass local team that's not represented.
I hope so. I also want more Zach LaVine interviews nationally because he is a fun quote from time to time. He's very direct in how he speaks. When he got into it with Jackson the other night,
yeah.
Tanny, play what it was the early front runner for basketball quote of the year in Chicago.
Yeah, I'm also not intimidated or scared of anybody, and that's just friendly rivalry, you know. Guy talks to you, you don't talk back. I don't think, at least me personally, you know, I don't back down from anybody. The only person I'm scared of is God and my dad.
God and my dad.
You know, I don't back down from anybody. The only person I'm scared of is God and my dad.
Yeah. You know, that's awesome. And part of the awesomeness of the other night was seeing him doing all this with this big red scratch on his neck, you know? Bruised and battered and cut. He is, man. He's completely fearless.
And listen, I feel like I've been a fan of his since they got him. I love his game. I love his scoring. The matching of the $78 million contract was a no-brainer. He's adding elements to his game. I so desperately want to see him with another top 50 player. I'm not even asking for top 20. Like, I just another top 50 dude so that, yes, like, his efficiency right now is so great, but imagine if he had Rudy Gobert covering for his defensive mistakes at the other end. And I know Gobert's not available. I'm just picking a dude. I'm picking a guy somewhere between 20 and 50 in the NBA who's really damn good and makes teams a lot better. Or, like, what if he had Mike Conley? Like, I'd love to see Zach LaVine with anybody else who is similar to his skill set, because they have nobody who's close right now. Not at all.
Yeah. I mean, no, not really.
They don't. No one's close.
Thad Young could play with anybody, and he loves Thad Young. You ever look after a game, anytime Zach gets asked about Thad Young, it is the most glowing, loving stuff, calls him the best teammate he's ever had. And I forgot that their history goes back 5 years, Danny. It goes back to when Zach showed up as a young kid in Minnesota, that Thad was there and immediately took him under his wing, and now here he is. And it's like, the fact that Zach's having this maturation and playing like this now, it's partially at the urging of Thad, who tells him to take over, tells him when it's time to do it. So that's got to be nice and empowering when you got a veteran like that who you respect, who's in your ear saying, you're the guy, do this now, your team, go, 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 you know?
Yeah, I think that he knows it's his team, knows that no one on the team is close to him, and he is, like many athletes and many basketball players, that it's a weird border of, like, cockiness, irrational confidence, genuine talent and greatness. He feels underpaid at $19 million a year. He feels disrespected that the only time he's been invited to All-Star Weekend has been to participate in the dunk contest or the three-point contest. You know what I mean? He doesn't think he gets his due, and he is clearly playing like he hears his skeptics. Like, he's not very active on social media all the time, but, like, I guarantee you Zach LaVine is a read the mentions, read the comments, read the articles, all that sort of thing. There's no doubt in my mind that that's how he operates.
Yeah, it's a good day on this show for dudes like that. As we talk about Zach, and earlier at 3 o'clock, we talked to Io DeSunu of Illinois, and that dude reads everything and hears everything. Did you catch that in the research? He's like, once they said, "Oh, he's heavy on the right hand. He's got no left hand." So now he made it a project to go left hand all the time. That kind of stuff. Like, they told him he had no mid range, and now he's like, "That's my money shot. It's my money shot." He goes mid range. Told him he couldn't shoot from deep. Now he's killing it from deep, and he just remembers everything that people say about
the question that Herb gave me to ask. That he's like, "That's why I love the score. No one's ever asked me that, but I mean, I can't take credit for it." Herb follows Illinois basketball 1,000 times closer than I do, was that his coach, Brad Underwood, before they played Iowa, said that Garza was the best player in the country, and his game has improved statistically significantly, especially on the efficiency end, since that game. And he never said it publicly until we asked him about it, but that he's like, yeah, that my coach said it. Of course that was fuel. And I love guys like that. But so now, since we're all Mr. Basketball around here, we are going to make some money on a national TV game for the Bulls, locally, of course, right here on The Score. But coming up, we're making money. What do you think? Three guys to go over and then the game to go under? We're going to make a really sharp single-game parlay next on The Score.
Harkins and Spiegel Show Flashback.
Danny has Kobe White in the over, 16.5.
You're right.
Kobe White with 17.
Beegs, we teased the under at 228.5.
Final 125-106 LAC.
Danny and this guy, Patrick Beverly, at plus 7.5, over 7.5 points.
Patrick Beverly, 6 points.
I am taking my guy, Patrick Williams, to go over 20 points.
Patrick Williams held the 3 points on 1-5 from the floor.
That's how confident I am.
That's why you should never gamble. Let this be a lesson to you.
All right, so some news that is complicating our attempts
tonight. Though, actually, we might be live here, boys, because gambling is amazing. God, I love gambling.
As we teased going into the break that we were going to put in a single-game parlay on Bulls-Sixers, all of the odds went off the board because the news came out that Ben Simmons is out tonight, and he's sick, which
but
sucks.
But now they're back. Now they're back.
But now they're back. Which is great. But I'm just saying, it sucks to watch because I was looking forward to watching the Bulls against the one seed with them fully healthy. And Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid have been amazing this year for Philly. But so no Ben Simmons, which should make it easier for the Bulls. They're only now a 5.5-point dog in the game. But now we can build our four-leg, four-team, single-game parlay on Bulls-Sixers tonight, which, of course, you could hear the only local call, Chuck and Bill, right here on the Score 6:15 pregame.
Outstanding. Shane covered the last one. I'll cover this one. $20 bet for the four of us as a show. I got the app up. Who's ready to make their pick on their leg of the parlay?
All right, Tanny.
All right, here we go. Let's do this. Well, I don't have the info in front of me here, but what do I have for Joel Embiid points tonight as a prop? You know, he's been a red-hot basketball beast-like character lately. Seven of his
32 and a half.
Okay,
it's a standard is over under 32.5, but you could also bet if you want him to go over, like, 30 points, 35 points. But yeah, 32.5 is your number.
I do. I like that over a lot. He's been over 37 of the last 8 games. I think that's easy money, as the investors say.
Okay, so got you. Joel Embiid over 32.5. Got it. Shane?
Okay.
All right, so I will take Judd Bushler to score.
All right, Flula.
but seriously, I have. Sorry, let me pull up my own here. Not
you're
prepared
really well
at all.
Sir.
Well,
yeah,
I was
ready.
I hit the wrong button.
I was ready despite the circumstances.
Wendell Carter Jr. over 7.5 rebounds, please. I think that's a lock.
And it's a
also,
fun one, too.
In my
fun.
Own parlay, I continued. Oh no! I was going to take Patrick Williams with 20 points or more again, but I smarted up a little bit and I did not include that in my parlay, my personal parlay.
Okay,
I have it at 6+ rebounds. Oh, 8+ rebounds.
Well, the over under on the rebound. It's not an alt line. It's the it should just be his rebound line. It was at 7.5? But that was before they announced Ben Simmons is out. I don't know if it changed.
You're good.
Okay,
Danny, what do you like, babe?
Well, so I was looking for Kobe White alternate points to give us a little bit more juice. And I'll say that he scores over 20, so over 19.5 at +220 for Kobe White as my alternate over point total for tonight's game. Can you put that in, please?
Done.
Thank you.
I'm going to add in Zach LaVine at 6+ assists to that. Zach's averaging 5, so that's +188 for Zach LaVine assists. So that's what we've got is Embiid over 32.5, Wendell Carter, 8 rebounds plus, Kobe White at 20 points, right? And Zach LaVine at 6 assists.
So what does that pay? Matt
$20 pays $653.12.
Is that enough for you, Shane? Is that enough to get you interested?
Well, that's fine because my personal parlay is $10 to win $2,100, so I'll be riding on that. And then I'll sponsor next week.
Okay.
$10 to win $2,100. I'm such a bad gambler. I won one parlay, and now it sucks me in.
It's like they're giving it away.
God.
Yeah. It's funny how it works, isn't it? You get that taste.
We say that now, though, but when I am on Monday buying a bottle of Pappy Van Winkle 23 year.
That's exactly right.
What a racist. When I'm buying that 23 year on Monday, you can all have a sip.
Thank you. Thank you. That's very exciting. Is that what you, that's so you who don't watch the NBA, don't care about the NBA.
Correct.
Bet 200 to 1 plus long odds parlays to just buy really, really expensive liquor.
Well, yeah, it's 214 to 1, by the way, so respect it. But I probably actually won't buy Pappy with it. I'll probably put it towards rent.
Oh. All right, well, then you definitely should be gambling long odds parlays.
Well, I can afford the rent, but it'd be nice to get, like, ahead 3 months.
Yeah, yeah, you know? A little cushion. Yeah, yeah.
2 months,
of
yeah.
Of course. Yeah.
I got troubles, boys. It says one or more of my selections are not available for betting.
That's how they get you. When you got Dr. NBA on your team, thank you, Parkins Mike Stan, for acknowledging the respect of my extra schooling.
Yeah. Yes, of course.
We always forget about your extra schooling.
It's because he doesn't rub it in our face.
Right.
As the resident NBA doctor on the show, there's Dr. J and there's Dr. Tanny. So, all right.
And Dan Bernstein went to Duke. Did you know that?
What a dummy.
Kyle Hendricks on the show yesterday. Where'd he go to school, Speaks?
That would be Dartmouth.
Yep, that's correct. A few people know that.
Anybody know where I went to school?
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Literally, cool. Shut up.
Cool. All right, good.
Did you think while you were there, by the way, that Jeremy Grant was ever going to be this good in the NBA?
I did not.
Okay.
I did not,
glad
actually.
Did you think that Nick Wright was going to be this good in the sportscasting world?
I did.
You did.
I did.
When you were there, did you think that Jeremy Grant spells his name a really stupid way?
So
I did.
Stupid.
Such a stupid way to spell Jeremy.
I did. Yeah. A little smug. I agree. I felt all of these things. So any other questions about when I was there?
When you were there, did you think that, you know, show 10 of the Parkins and Spiegel second season was going to be as great as this one has been?
We're sputtering to the finish, if I could be honest.
I'm trying to bring you along here.
Is Dinosaur Barbecue that good?
It pretty good. Yeah, I thought it was incredible, and then I moved to Kansas City. And I was like, oh, okay, it's fine. Good atmosphere, good side dishes, pretty good pulled pork, but not necessarily as great as
Arthur Gates.
The Syracuse residents would
Arthur
make you
Bryant.
Believe.
Arthur Bryant.
Arthur Bryant. And then there's Gates Barbecue.
Yes.
Yeah. Arthur Bryant.
Put them together.
Yeah. Which is not how you should do it because they're different places. Speaks. Rushing it. No, me too. Have you put in our bet or did you not figure it out, Mr. Gambler?
It says closed. It says they're not available for betting. I don't
guess
understand.
We'll just run with mine.
Yeah, what could go wrong with 214-1? All right, text and Twitch your questions in. Save us from ourselves. One last thing next on The Score.
Troy Weaver, no relation to Sonny Weaver of the Cleveland Browns on draft night film. Little joke there. Oh, here's my. LaVine, the ball stripped away by Jackson.
Not
Bill,
a good
did
set.
You see that movie, Draft Day?
Draft Day, yeah. Yes.
Jackson with a pull-up foul line, 15-footer is good. That was the fictitious GM of the Browns, Kevin Costner's Sonny Weaver.
Ah.
Well, it is draft day.
Love draft day. Miss talking about draft day as often as we used to talk about draft day. It's Parkins and Spiegel on the show, on the score. Bulls basketball comes your way. At 6:15, only local call for Bulls and Sixers right here on The Score. We like to end the show with your questions. We call it One Last Thing. Shane, what questions do we have today?
From Parkins Mike Stan, he wants to know if I dry brine my steaks before I reverse sear. I mean, not technically. I just sprinkle on some salt and pepper, and I let it come up to room temperature. Stick the temperature probe in there, let it come up to about 98, and sear that off on a cast iron pan. Audio ID, kid. With the Iron Man streak potentially hitting... Oh, no, we asked that one yesterday. Sorry. Looks like these are questions from yesterday.
Well, finally...
Oh, no, here we go. At John RF. Which score person's on-air personality is most different from their off-air personality?
Interesting.
Who's that for? That's an interesting question.
Let me think. Okay.
Just someone answer.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm thinking about it.
I'll say Bernstein, although it is more like him now. And I don't know what has evolved more, whether it's the on-air personality or him off there has evolved. But there's a bit of an evolution there. That would be my honest answer.
Yeah, well, I don't look at it as an insult. Like, I know there's like some sort of stigma to like this is entertainment. So there's a performative aspect to what we do. I think I agree with you, though, because his anger towards the callers, it doesn't make him really that mad. He has a very good, like, healthy life perspective on what actually matters and what doesn't. And he knows that that's, like, part of the bit
if you will, of what you get with him. So I think that Dan is probably the right answer. But that's a really interesting question that I'm going to spend too much time thinking about this weekend to see where I would fall in on the power ranking. That's it. That is a good question. I'm going to ask a question. What are you guys going to watch so that I don't hit the Netflix play something button and just let the machines take over and make the decision for me?
Tell you what, I did it again last night. Considered watching Tenet and then
keep considering
not.
It.
I did it. We did it again. Like, hey, should we watch that? Huh? Is it time? Huh? And then no. And then it was not. So
I started
something called Behind Her Eyes on Netflix. Just started that. And we'll
how
see
is that, Speegs? I saw it was number one. Yeah. Number one. I was, you know, if you're always looking for something to watch with a wife. Like, that looks intriguing.
Yeah, we're two episodes in. I'm intrigued a little bit more than the wife at this point. But I want to see how it plays out. So I think we'll finish.
That's on brand for you.
Yeah. Let it play out. My go-to right now is The Americans. I know it's old, but I'm enjoying it, and that's what I go to right now if I need a decision. But Judas and the Black Messiah looks awesome, so I might take that plunge this weekend if I can get Steph to commit to an early start time on a Friday, maybe right when Owen goes to bed. Give that one a spin. We have any other questions, Shane?
That's it, Danny. Having big-time computer problems back here. If you saw the engineers in here for the entire 4 o'clock and 5 o'clock hours, I can't really get on the internet. So that's what we got, bub.
Yeah, okay. Internet.
No problem.
Like,
well, there's questions
fairly
on the text line that I can read. No problem. I'll fill it in here. What's your favorite movie?
Really are sputtering strongly to the finish here.
Yeah, what a terrible 5 o'clock hour.
Now you know why these questions are curated so finely by Shane Reardon.
What's
your favorite?
That is a horrific question, sir.
It really is. Does Danny know who Tech Nine is? If so, is it only because he lived in KC? Yes, I know who Tech Nine is. I knew who he was before I lived in KC, but I know more about him since I lived in KC. And he hit on my wife and her friend at a wine bar in KC when they were out for happy hour. And she has a picture with her, like her best girlfriend, and Tech Nine. And Tech Nine is short. Like, my Steph is 5'9", and she's taller than Tech Nine. So that's my Tech Nine story.
There you go.
She had a glass of wine with Tech Nine.
What's your favorite movie, though? Was the question.
Was the other question?
That's really interesting.
Just telling you my Tech Nine story.
Thanks, Pat.
Big Lebowski.
Big Lebowski's good. It's a good movie.
Goodwill Hunting. I have 15 movies in my top five, so I'm terrible at this question.
Yeah.
But Good Will Hunting or The Big Lebowski are probably my two most common answers to that question, if I had to choose. What about you?
I love the movie Contact far more than I probably should, and yet I just do. I absolutely.
And you've never been here for a Fichtner conversation.
I know, man. I'm telling you. It's like it's right up there, and his role in it is beautiful. In my opinion,
Contact is that high for you?
Yeah, it is. It speaks to me. It's faith versus reason, man. And it's Sagan at his most thoughtful, and it's faith versus reason. And that's also stats versus feel in baseball and other sports. It's like, it's my jam.
Redirect.
We mentioned Apollo 13 earlier in the show. I love Apollo 13. I could just watch it over and over again. That scene where the astronauts or where the NASA guys on Earth have to figure out how to make all the stuff into a filter and then teach the guys in space how to do that is like American ingenuity at its finest. I love that movie.
I love it, too. It's great. I feel cold when I watch that movie. Texter asks if I have a Mac Lethal story. Yeah, I have multiple Mac Lethal stories. We didn't hang out or whatever, but he rapped about us during the Royal show. He was a huge fan of the old show in KC. Mac Lethal was awesome.
But we need to wrap. Thanks to Shane. Thanks to Tanny. Thanks to Speaks. Thanks to Connor. My name's Danny Parkins. Thanks to our guests today, which I just appreciate them very much. Bulls basketball coming up at 6:15. We are Parkins and Spiegel on the score.
We're only granted one day, right? We only get one Friday. We have one Friday today. We're going to try to take advantage and make it the best Friday possible, and we'll deal with tomorrow tomorrow.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.